What is it about Lincoln that evokes so many thoughts on both sides of the issue? What is it about Lincoln?
Oh, well, that's a great question. And a lot of my research is really directed toward what is it about Lincoln. And since I've come to Virginia, I also did graduate school in North Carolina, I've found that there is definitely an undercurrent of hatred toward Lincoln, which I think in some ways is a little bit understandable. A member of my dissertation committee, very famous Civil War historian named Fitz Brundage, said that when he was a child growing up in Virginia, his grandmother said, "Don't ever say that man's name." And so I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that really during Lincoln's presidency, he was a fairly divisive figure. I mean, he was a politician, which I think a lot of people tend to forget after his death. You know, on both sides of the issue, people were not very happy with him. People who thought that he was taking much too long to try to go after slavery, that thought he was way too soft on slavery, were pressuring him to do more about ending slavery. On the opposite side, there were plenty of people who thought, why are we even going to war with the South at all? Let's just let them secede. We'll have peace. We don't have to send any more of our young men off to die. So why are you continuing this bloodbath? So really during Lincoln's presidency, he caused a lot of strong feelings of hatred, even among his so-called supporters in the North. And then when he was assassinated, the first assassination in American history, his influence really transformed almost overnight. Everybody loved Lincoln. Everybody had to be on the side of Lincoln because he became this, you know, this figurehead that galvanized Americans into action for ending the war, for putting his ideas through Congress after his death, much the same way that JFK became that kind of figurehead in the 1960s with Lyndon Johnson's policies. So I think for a lot of Southerners, the fact that what Lincoln did as a politician has been forgotten, that he suspended habeas corpus, that many people died because he continued a very bloody war, I think it angers them that the political Lincoln, the Lincoln who was a war president, has kind of gotten lost behind the sainthood that we've given him.
Paul, let me ask you a couple questions. What was the motivation for putting this whole exhibit and symposium on?
Well, we ran the advertisement for this position for the postdoctoral associate around about this time last year, and we got a ton of excellent applications from really promising up-and-coming Civil War historians from all over the country. And we settled on hiring Kim, first of all, because she's such an excellent scholar and had such a great record as a PhD student, but also because we saw the potential for marking the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's assassination this spring. And we knew there'd be a lot of public interest, you know, not only in the ending of the Civil War, there's a lot going on at Appomattox, for example, but we also knew this would be a time when people would be thinking about Lincoln, about his place in Civil War history, and about his place in American history in general. And so that's really what we do at the Virginia Center for Civil War Studies, is bring Civil War programming that people are interested in, that people, you know, topics that people want to hear more about, and bring the best scholars we can to Blacksburg so that people can come and learn more about all aspects of the Civil War. So this was a great timing for Kim's research this spring.
If Lincoln had not been assassinated, Paul, what were the consequences, maybe short-term and long-term, of Lincoln's assassination, what it did as far as reconstruction or integrating African Americans in society?
Yeah, I think there's no denying that things would have been somewhat different. It's obviously impossible to say exactly what would have happened if Lincoln had not been assassinated, if he had been president during the Reconstruction period. He had defined some of his ideas about Reconstruction even during the Civil War. So especially towards the end of the war, he was formulating plans to bring the Southern states back into the Union. He was formulating plans for how to integrate African Americans into American society and politics. In one of the last speeches he gave, he talked about the possibility of enfranchising African Americans, particularly soldiers who had fought for the Union. So there are some signs about how he would have handled Reconstruction. But what I always say is that because Reconstruction was a kind of moving target, you know, different people's attitudes and actions developed as Reconstruction unfolded, it's really difficult to say, you know, exactly what he would have done in Reconstruction.
The average person who has some interest in Lincoln, would they get benefit out of either going to see the exhibit or coming to the symposium?
Yes, absolutely. This is definitely not one of those events that's targeted only towards academics who are already experts in the subject. So we've selected five wonderful speakers, not only for their expertise in Lincoln studies, but also because they are fantastic speakers who will be a joy to listen to. The presentations will be very accessible to anyone, you know, even if they don't think of themselves as being a Civil War or history buff. This will be a great event. And same with the exhibit. It will be very accessible. It will contain all kinds of really fascinating objects, documents, images that I think everyone will be able to enjoy looking at and thinking about.